Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, this morning, I want to start with the main text. It's actually Proverbs 31. It starts with the portion we're going to read is not at the beginning of the chapter. It starts in verse 10. It's about a woman of godly character, a woman who fears the Lord, a noble woman, a woman to be praised, a woman to be cherished. We're going to start there, and please don't jump ahead and think, oh, I know this passage, and here he goes. He's going to just talk to wives this morning, and hey, listen, if the Holy Spirit talks to you and you're a wife, listen to him. But that really is not exactly where we're going with this morning. And if you're a man in this room, I want you to know that this message includes you, includes me, includes all of us together. So here we go. I'm gonna take time to actually read this passage. And it says this: an excellent wife, who can find? I was waiting for a bunch of husbands to go, oh, I found one. That was your opportunity, guys. You missed it. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet dark or night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out with her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come because she's prepared. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. I don't know, when you read that, do you get little flashes of maybe your mom or your wife, someone else that you look to or recognize as motherly or as a godly woman? I get little flashes out of that chapter of my mother. I get flashes out of that chapter about my wife. And now I get little flashes out of that chapter from my daughters. I get little glimpses, you know. And it's not like I'm walking around looking through Proverbs 31 at them. It's just I get these little flashes of what God has done and brought them through and what he's developing and continuing to develop in all of them. You know, I have seen things come out of my mother that I never saw as a child at home, but I've watched those things come out of her over the last few years. with my dad having some limitations physically, and you know, she wasn't done. She was still being made a woman of character. Oh, the days aren't easy. It doesn't mean she's perfect. She's like the rest of us. I've watched my wife, you know, still get up in the dark hours and make sure things are taken care of. She's taking her time with the Lord. And so I get these glimpses. It's an interesting passage because we all know that we are the bride of Christ, right? So when I look at this inspired word of God of what a woman, a wife, a mother who fears the Lord, what this woman is supposed to be like. And so I have to come and I ask the question, what kind of bride are we? This is where it includes all of us, men alike. These virtues, these characters, because I am part of the bride of Christ, what kind of bride am I? What kind of fiance am I? What kind of person am I if I am married to the Lord? See, I can't use excuses like human relationships, human marriages are like, because, you know, women can come up with excuses like, well, if he would be better at this and do that, I'd be glad to do this. You know, kind of that give and take and our mentality sometimes of conditions on things rather than being who we should be regardless of their performance. We can't say that with the Lord because he's perfect. We're without excuse. This is the woman we're supposed to be. Oops, sorry. This is the woman we're supposed to be. The bride is supposed to be. You know, it's interesting when you look at Proverbs, when you start with chapter 1 and you go all the way through, 31 is the last chapter, you go all the way through, it is a father and son talk. It is a father giving counsel to his son. I mean, mothers are mentioned, but all, you know, all kinds of things are mentioned, but it's a father and son talk. And it's interesting that at the end of the book, it ends with a mother-son talk. Do you know why that is? Because she always gets the last word. I'm kidding, don't throw stuff at me. But it's interesting. He relays something that his mother taught him. You'll see, they say it's King Lemuel. That's how you pronounce it. And it says it's written by him. Well, there's some things that talk about that's actually a pet name that his mother may have had for Solomon. Some say, no, it's from Hezekiah. Others disagree and say it's a fictitious person that Solomon made up to use to make a point about this prophecy. Regardless, we learn early in the chapter that he is sharing this, and his mother shared these things with him and to learn this prophecy. Most likely it was Solomon's mother, and do you know who she was? Was Bathsheba. Isn't that interesting? All that woman went through. All the changes that transpired in her life. That she could teach something like this to her son out of her broken life. I want to make a side note here, but it's a very important note. Your history does not have to determine your future. In Christ, you can be changed. I don't care if you've been told your whole life, you're no good, you'll never be good, you'll never change. You need to cancel that voice. And you need to hear the Word of God for you, to you. And we need His help to make good on it. But I want you to know, the cycle can be broken. You can be transformed. I can be changed with the help of the Holy Spirit. But I've got to also humble myself, forsake myself, crucify myself, and follow him, right? There's responsibility that we have that builds upon that kind of grace and mercy and power that we receive from the Lord. So I want to mention that. So here's this counsel. It talks about a wife of noble character, and we're the bride of Christ. What kind of bride am I? Why don't you just say that with me? What kind of bride am I? It talks about character. Talks about virtue. Talks about how we make decisions and how we live our daily life. The virtue, the character, you know, here's the question. If I am not this to the Lord, then I'm something contrary to that. Proverbs talks about that kind of wife, and you can talk of, you know, you can go to different places in Scripture, but am I a difficult person for him to live with? Do I take advantage of his perfect nature? Do I presume upon his grace? What kind of wife am I? Does he find me agreeable? Or does he find me quarrelsome? And not just with him, but his entire bride or other people. What kind of wife, what kind of believer, what kind of Christian am I? Do I look like her? If I don't, then the category becomes I'm difficult to live with or I'm a quarrelsome wife. I'm going to read you a few verses about that. A few of you probably already know what's coming. Do you ever try to fall asleep and you hear that the faucet is dripping? You ever had that happen? Or the toilet keeps running? Or the baby just keeps crying? Whatever it is, something is distracting you and you can't go to sleep with it. There's no peace, no rest. That's a quarrelsome wife. In Proverbs 19:13, a quarrelsome wife, a disagreeable wife, she is like a dripping faucet. I wonder if that's how the Lord looks at me. Do I create stress for him? Now, he's perfect. He doesn't deal with stress like we do. But in the context of being quarrelsome or difficult, I'm going to put it in human terms so that we understand it in human relationship. Does he find me to be an agreeable person? Does he find you to be agreeable with him? Or are you quarrelsome with him or his bride at large? Listen to this. Proverbs 21:9. A quarrelsome wife, living with her, it would be better for the husband to live up on the corner of the roof. Have you ever seen a man set a chair up on the corner of a roof? No. That means all you women must be doing great. No, you probably haven't seen that. But have you ever seen him just walk out to the shop? Or the garage? Or the, oh yeah, I forgot, I got to go do something. I want to put it in the context of us being a bride to the Lord. And not that he is like man, for he's perfect, he ascends us. But I wonder if by our conduct and by our quarrelsome or difficult attitude and outlook and conduct, I wonder if we expel the Lord from this room that we call his house, that he's not in here, but he's on the peak. That we send him away at a distance because we're difficult to deal with. That we're not agreeable. Or we say yes, yes, and do something different. We're something other than the woman in Proverbs 31. Are we that kind of bride to the Lord? Proverbs 21:19 says this, better to live in the desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. This is dad talk to his son. He's telling him to choose wisely when the time comes. You better know something about her. Is she quarrelsome? Is she ill-tempered? And it gets me to think, are we as a church, are we ill-tempered? Are we quarrelsome with the Lord or with one another? Because we're a part of the bride, and how do we conduct ourselves? You know, being quarrelsome, it just exhausts people. And it does the quarrelsome person no good. Now, are we going to have disagreements? Are we going to have to work through things with the Lord? Are we going to have to work out things between us and our spouse or between one another? Yeah, take some communication. Did you ever have that kid that just said, yeah, but? Or they just didn't, the point of the argument gets to the point where it just becomes absurd. It becomes foolish talk because you just want to argue your points to see who's going to win and get their way. And it's no longer about the issue at hand anymore. Now it's a struggle between who's making the decision and who gets what they want. Why do we quarrel? James talks about it. James chapter 4. What causes quarrels? What causes fights among you? Oh, listen to this. This is so good. Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire, and you do not have. So you murder. You covet. You cannot obtain, so you fight, and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask wrongly. Say that with me. You ask wrongly. Say it. You ask wrongly. To spend it on your own passions. And he says this, you are adulterous people who do this. Now he's talking to the people of God here. What he's saying is this, that you're the bride of Christ, but you're acting like you're married to the world. You can see it in the following verses. It talks about friendship with the world is enmity with God. But he's talking to God's people. He says, why do you quarrel with one another? Or why do we quarrel with God? What kind of bride are we? Are we quarrelsome like Proverbs talks about? Because we say that we're the bride of Christ, but we ask wrongly, and we ask with wrong motive at times. We ask the wrong way and with the wrong attitude. And it says, you're adulterous. Not idolatry, adultery. You're married to Christ, but we act like we're married to the world. And if that happens, we're going to have quarrels. Because we're supposed to be on the page of pursuing Christ, living in his kingdom, living by kingdom principles, living by his virtue and character instead of mine or the world's. And when these two we struggle with inside, we have quarrel. Do you ever have a quarrel with yourself? Please say yes. Because there should be a battle between your flesh and the spirit, right? You quarrel with yourself. who wins that within you? You see, if our flesh wins, then that fruit of that is going to come out in our human relationships and our relationship with the Lord. And it's going to prevent and muddy the waters of becoming the woman of Proverbs 31. What kind of bride of Christ are we? What is the world seeing of us? Have you ever, not purposely, you just kind of catch it by being around that couple? And you get around that couple and you say, boy, she's awfully good to him. Boy, she treats him nice. And some admirable qualities come out about her. And you just take notice. Say, wow, he's got a good wife. We don't know what it's like to live with her, but the snapshots we get, there's some virtue and quality coming out. It speaks of the goodness of the Lord, right? In the Christian world. We recognize it. I wonder if the world looks at the bride of Christ and says, boy, Jesus got a good bride. Whoa. Wow. The church is something different than what I thought it was. Or that church is different than the church I grew up in. There's something about these people. They're really followers. They mean what they say. It's not just singing and proclamation and then they act like they're married to the world. What kind of bride are we? James says this, and I want you to think about it in your life. Are you quarrelsome? Are you ill-tempered? Do you fly off quick emotionally, mentally, and do you build cases and do you carry out, you know, vengeance? Do you try to just get your own way? And are you a self-promoter? And you look at things and, you know, we try to cover up that it's not about us, but we look at it and we just feel like it's about us and it's about my feelings, it's about what I want and when I want it and how I want to do it and the way I think it should be. And that's not the way we approach the Lord, is it? We better be careful to be good to his fiance. You have to remember that you're not the only one that belongs to him. Don't pick on his girl. Even when she doesn't show up quite like this. You see, she's still preparing for the wedding day. You're still preparing. Do you remember planning for your wedding? Some of you, maybe it was real simple. Maybe, you went to see the judge, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's legal. It's a legal document. It's a legal contract. It's what marriage is. And for some, you know, you had to find the venue, and you had to find the church or another place you were going to be married, and you had to find the preacher, and then you had to go through the decorations, and then you had to deal with your mother and your mother-in-law. And then, you know, a caterer. And then you got to pick out the napkins. And what are we going to do for favors? And now it implicates Dad that he's got to go out in the shop and cut 1,000 pieces of birch so that you can put a ribbon on it and burn something in it and put a piece of candy on it. I mean, and you got to plan all this and all this. I mean, it's just a ton of work. It always happens. And I was with a couple yesterday who are planning their wedding in September, and it was one of the pre-marriage coaching sessions I had with them. And in the middle of that meeting, she goes, this was just supposed to be a simple wedding. Like, got the church, we got... And theirs is simple, but there's so much to do and so many details. She goes, wait, I thought this was just going to be simple. There's so much I got to remember, and I got to write this down, and I got to do this, and I got to get these people. And there's so much preparing for the wedding. When it comes to us and the Lord, The preparing for the wedding part doesn't have to do with externals. It has to do with preparing yourself, us, to be the bride. Character, virtue, conduct, attitude, crucifying quarrelsome, crucifying ill-tempered, selfishness, self-promote. The list goes on throughout the scripture so that it's we forsake those things and we take on the virtues of the lady in Proverbs 31. You want to be a godly man? Read Proverbs 31, verse 10 through the end. Follow those virtues and characters, you'll be a godly man. Be a godly husband. Women, same. Single people, same. Married, same. Our marital status doesn't determine whether we have to be a person of character or not. We are the bride of Christ, and we're to become like that woman. And we need to ask ourselves, what kind of bride am I? And if I'm not that, does he find me difficult to live with? Does he find me difficult to hang around with? Does he finally find me difficult to give tasks to? Does he find me difficult to spend time or to get me to spend time with him? Am I quarrelsome over it? I've got this, I've got that, I love you, blah, 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 blah. Lord, I know that's what you want me to do, but I was really feeling like this. This is what I feel on my heart. Oh, it's got to be from you because it's in my heart and I prayed about it. And so I'd like to do this or I'd like to do it this way. Can you just do it like I asked? Can you just do it like I said? We all have our own ideas. And I believe that there's latitude and God can use it. Son, cut the grass. I don't care if you go this way or if you go this way or if you go this way. You can figure that out. I don't need to be in all that detail. But just cut the grass. You can put your own impression on it. Then there's other things that I say, I'd like you to do this, but do it this way. Yeah, but no, do it this way. This is how I want it done. What kind of person are we with one another? With the bride? What kind of bride are we to him? Does it get us mad and we get ill-tempered? Those are things we've got to ask ourselves, you know, because maybe we don't let it all out in public, but it sure spills out in private. And there's other people that get to watch it. I know that I have a public life. But I had to make sure for my kids' sake that the guy they saw in public was the same guy they saw at home and in private. How to operate within that. Did I make mistakes and flaws? You bet. Sure we did. Well, that was my goal. I believe that was, the Lord helped us with that. You see, spiritual maturity, I want you to remember this. Please remember this. Spiritual maturity is marked by character. It's not marked by title. It's not marked by office. It's not marked by anointing. It's not marked by gifting or talent. Spiritual maturity is marked by character. He gives anointing. He sends a call. But did you notice he calls unholy people? He anoints less than perfect men and women. Did you ever notice that he distributes the gifts of the Holy Spirit to people who have flaws? Don't think because you have a title or a platform or God's anointed you or you prophesy or you lead this or you have this title, don't think that that's an endorsement of your character. It can be, but it is not the marker of character. Have you ever seen anointed people fall into sin? Wasn't an anointing issue. It's a character issue. Right? You ever see people with a title? Ooh. You ever see them sin? You see, you can operate in gifts of the Spirit. Paul writes about it. You can speak in the tongue of men and angels. He uses that as one example. But if you don't have what? Love, character issue, virtue. If you don't have that, that gift, it's like noise. You can think it's great. And God could speak through you. But you've lost your audience. Are we the bride of Proverbs 31? It says this in Proverbs that without wood, the fire goes out. And without gossip, a quarrel ceases. The way we talk, are we sending him on the roof and out of this house, no matter how loud we sing, no matter how much you speak in tongues, no matter how much you prophesy, no matter how much a gift of healing happens, have we removed him from the room because he doesn't want to be hanging around with his bride? She's quarrelsome, or she talks, or she gossips, or she slanders, she... We read in Ephesians chapter 4, we read about not grieving the Holy Spirit. I'll read this to you. Verse 29. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And now it's attached to this. It's not a new paragraph. It's not a new book. It's not a new chapter. It's the next sentence. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by who you've been sealed for. Do not grieve him. When you grieve, what is one of the responses when you grieve? You isolate, don't you? You grieve, yeah, you do the visitation if it's a funeral thing, but if you grieve over something, other than that, you withdraw. You grieve. It hurts, it aches. Don't do that to the Holy Spirit. Let's not send him to the corner of the roof. Because we're a bride that is married to the world, and we say we're his, but we conduct ourselves according to the flesh. Look at this. Don't grieve, Holy Spirit. Verse 1, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away, along with all malice. Be kind to one another. Be kind to his bride. You're not the only one. His bride makes up all his people. Be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted. Be forgiving towards one another as God forgave you in Christ. Don't forget that your forgiveness, the forgiveness that comes to our life, it cost him. And we weren't worthy, but he loved us. and we receive the forgiveness, how is it that we can withhold it from somebody else? They don't deserve it, and neither did I, neither did you. Let's be that bride. Let's be that bride. You see, sometimes we get so, as a church, we get so focused on trying to change the environment. And listen, that is not wrong. We want His kingdom to come to earth, right? To annihilate the kingdom of the world. And we want the environment to be right. But we sometimes get so focused on the environment. We want the environment to change. We want the circumstance to change. Whatever the circumstance is in our life, whether it's the darkness of our nation or it's just something in your life that you're dealing with you wish was different, some circumstance, the environment of something, we want it to be different. You know, the Bible's pretty clear. There's some dark days ahead in the world. And it's not that we should say, well, it's just going to be dark. We won't try to change the environment. We won't try. No, we need to be busy. We need to be occupied. But I'll tell you what happens is sometimes we focus, as the bride of Christ, we focus so much on trying to change the environment rather than being concerned with strengthening ourselves to live and overcome the environment we're in. That's character. We need to be concerned with developing and allowing God to develop us as a person, as His followers, as His bride. We can get tangled up with what's going on all over the world or in our little world, and we should be concerned and we should be aware and we should put forth faithful effort to be a light in that darkness and in that difficulty. But don't get so wrapped up on the circumstance in the outward. We should give it appropriate attention, but not at the cost of not strengthening ourselves in the Lord and allowing the Holy Spirit to help us overcome the environment and the world in which we live. That should be the bride. I have watched things come out of my wife's mouth because it developed her as a person. Things that have come out of her mouth that would have probably never come out of her mouth 20, 30 years ago. Because she grew. She's matured. She's becoming a godly woman continually. I watch some things come out of her and I go, she's got to walk with the Lord. It's not just show. It's not just fake. There's something going on. Waters are deep. I'm so grateful for those moments. Watch those things come out of her. Yeah, do I still see flaws come out of her? Yeah. And out of me too. But we're trying to become Proverbs 31. He's helping us, not doing it on my own. I can't get there on my own. I need Him counsel me, help me, coach me, pick me up, dust me off, get me set straight, pat me on the bottom, and get me going. What kind of bride am I? What kind of bride are you? What will turn the heart, listen, what will turn the heart of the unsaved when they look at the bride of Christ? Peter writes about it. He gives this counsel to wives. Listen to this. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. In other words, for you women who are married and your husband does not believe in the Lord, he doesn't express faith in Christ, this is what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to conduct yourself as a bride to him. Subject yourself to him. that they would be one without a word being preached at them, because they will observe the conduct and character of their wife. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, don't let your adorning be external. Now watch this. The braiding of your hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. The world might not value that, but that's what God values. If God values that in this wife, then he must value that in his bride. I want you to know that here and in other places, it's not that the writers are saying, don't dress nice, don't ever wear any jewelry. No. The emphasis is this, that your character should be more noticeable and beautiful than what you're wearing. And that you don't have to be wealthy to be beautiful. You may not have jewelry. You may not have fancy clothes. But the beauty of the person is supposed to be greater than the adornment of riches. That's what the emphasis is. It would be like this. Let's make the church really beautiful. The building, the property. Let's make it look really beautiful. So people can look at it and say, wow, that's beautiful. But I ain't going to that church because the people there are mean and they gossip and they don't care and they're arrogant and they're, right? Jesus talked about it. Whitewashed tombs. Oh, they look beautiful on the outside, but don't forget, it's still just a grave. It's dead men's bones. There's no life in it. You know, it's one of those, put a pig on a silk purse or whatever that saying is, or what, I don't know, whatever, a purse on a silk ear of a hog or whatever. Whatever that saying is, I don't know. It's that thing, you can't put a silk purse on a sow's ear, no, sow's ear, I don't know. You know what I'm saying. Oh, let's go back to the scripture, it's more clear. Listen, no sense decorating this place and making it beautiful. No sense dressing up this bride, and then we all go, oh, she looks beautiful, but she's really mean. Pray for George. Right? Say goodbye to George. He'll never be able to hang out with us again. Glad she's yours, George. George, we all pitched in and bought you a nice chair, and we want to install it on the roof of your house. See? What kind of bride are we? Are we the bride that will give him a good name so that he's known in the city because they've looked at us and they say, wow, look at their conduct. Look at how they forgive one another. Look how they love those who can't love them back. Look it. They never preached a sermon at me, but they got something. And I feel drawn to it. And the Holy Spirit starts to do the work because he's used us. Because we were committed to be a Proverbs 31 bride.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.